listening to Halford and Brough.
There is one main question that the Halford and Brough show has essentially been built around.
Why are you guys on the air?
Yes. But also, how can the Canucks win the Stanley Cup?
On Vancouver's home of the NHL trade deadline.
We have a trade to announce.
We live day to day.
I think you're going to want to hear this.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Sportsnet 650.
I mean, it's like you guys. You come to the show every day and you just suck.
If someone said right now, you can go into a coma, and when you wake up, the pandemic will be over and life will be back to normal, would you do it?
I hate that I'm even entertaining the idea of going into a coma. No, I think I want to live.
Here are your hosts, Mike Halford and Jason Brough.
Good morning, Vancouver. 6:01 on a Monday, trade deadline Monday. Happy trade deadline, everybody. I am Mike Halford. He is Jason Brough. We are Halford and Brough. We are coming to you live from the Sportsnet 650 studios in beautiful Fairview Slopes in Vancouver. Jason, good morning.
Good morning and welcome back, buddy.
Thank you. Nephew Dom, how are you now?
I'm good. Welcome back.
Thank you.
You sound better.
I am better. Yeah, thanks.
Were you faking on Thursday and Friday?
Pardon me?
Were you faking on Thursday and Friday?
Yes, I just wanted a four-day weekend. Woohoo! Four-day weekend.
Successful.
It was good.
It was good for myself. But that's fine. I'm glad you're back.
The show sounded resplendent.
Mm-hmm.
You had me. You keep saying you were by yourself, but you had me.
You didn't say as much as I thought you might. I thought you might take the opportunity to kind of jump in and be like, this is Dom's time.
I don't want to step on Mike's toes, you know?
He wasn't here. Did you know that?
Yeah.
from a distance.
The ghost of him was here.
It's true. No, thanks for everybody reaching out and checking in on me. I'm good. I feel much better. I don't know what it was, but I'm back to normal health. So that's
not good. It's not the coronavirus.
No, I went and got, went and got tested twice.
Did you? You went twice?
Yeah, just to make sure. Well, I'm coming into a workplace setting.
I like things up my nose.
What can I say? Anything I can get up there. 6:03 on a Monday. You are listening to the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. It is trade deadline day. It is upon us. And in classic NHL fashion, the majority of the good trades happen the day before. Everyone's going to go to air. So that's a thing.
Yeah, who's left?
I will lay out, before we get into all of that, how the day is going to work. So our good friend Adam Forsyth, you know him from News 1130 and this station, Sportsnet 650. You also know him formerly as one of the Green Men. Yeah.
That wasn't a secret or anything, was it?
It's literally in his Twitter bio.
No, I know. I'm joking.
He's actually
Superman in his spare time.
Yeah. His day job is doing traffic updates. Adam is going to join us every hour at a minimum. Anytime there's a trade, we're going to throw straight to Adam on the trade desk. And if there's not, and we have to be clear, there might not be. We've worked enough trade deadlines to know that the early hours, these 6 to 9 Pacific hours.
Nice.
They're not usually a hub of activity. To be quite frank, not Frank Saravalli, just Frank. Most of the action happens between 9 and 12. And then really, if we're being really honest and driving ratings elsewhere, a lot of the stuff trickles in after 12. That's when the poor secretary at NHL Trade Central is busy jotting down notes. And she's like, there's a backlog. Right? It's like going to the DMV. There's a huge lineup of trades that have to get filed.
But still, listen to the show.
Definitely. Don't go anywhere else. Where are you going to go? Is there another option?
Yeah.
You can listen to stand-up comedy? Give me a break. Okay? So that's what we'll be doing throughout the show to keep you abreast of all the trades. Brough and I will spend the better part of the first hour and a bit going over all the trades you might have missed last night, because there was a bunch of them. We have got today on the show at 6:30, Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. 7:30, we've got Dan Murphy, of course, covers the Canucks for Sportsnet. 8 o'clock, Kevin Bieksa from Sportsnet as well. So we've got guests focused entirely on breaking down what's happened, but also maybe getting some live reactions to any trades that might go down early in the morning. So again, Greg Wyshynski at 6:30 from ESPN, Murph's at 7:30, and Kevin Bieksa at 8. That's what's happening on the program.
Dwayne texts in to the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650. Dwayne says, the trade deadline is shaping up to be as boring as Sunday at the Masters was. Hey, guys, compared to some of the previous majors that we've seen, the ones that were dominated, the one with Bryson DeChambeau dominated, that was a pretty good Masters, in my opinion.
Really?
Yeah.
I put in some good innings on it. I was trying.
In relative to some of the other majors we've had recently, I thought that was pretty good. There was 45 seconds there where it looked like Matsuyama might have some trouble there when he put it in the water at 15, I believe.
You should go back, everybody, to Jason's Twitter timeline, at Sad Club Commish. Mm-hmm. Because there's a gap of about 8 minutes where you're like, finally, some drama on Sunday at a major at the Masters.
And then Schauffele tripled 17, and it was like, oh, never mind.
That was it.
Yeah. So Zalatoris hung in there. I was laughing so hard, by the way. I know we're supposed to be talking about hockey, but in Butler Cabin when they interviewed him afterwards, I don't know if it was a Butler Cabin, but it was one of the post-match interviews. Mm-hmm. They interviewed Will Zalatoris and then was like, still, he's hungry for more. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, he's hungry for something.
Yeah.
Like, hey, he is a very skinny guy.
Yeah.
Very skinny guy. He's also, he's got very, very, like, he's quite pretty. Is that the word?
Sure. He's a pretty guy.
He's pretty, right? He's like a porcelain China doll.
He's got too sharp of features, I find.
Very sharp.
Right. He's very much of, you know who he reminds me of physically? And I guess the hair probably is
like Paris Hilton.
Nope. Wasn't going there. It was going more golf related.
Oh, okay.
Bernard Langer.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Yeah.
It's the hair mostly. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of guys with like, you know, sort of like sweeping blonde hair.
Yeah.
It is a look. Like, I don't think Zalatoris is a look. Do you know what we're talking about, Dom?
No.
You have no idea. Do you?
Can you put on the Canucks game?
That's a really good drop.
That's actually a pretty good, well-timed drop.
Yeah, very good. Instead of talking about how pretty Will Zalatoris is, maybe we should talk about...
Who's prettier, Will Zalatoris or William Nylander?
Oh, wow.
Young William Nylander.
Will Nylander is a better comparison.
18-year-old William Nylander.
Yeah, Will Nylander is a better comparison for Will Zalatoris now. I rescind my Bernard Langer.
Okay.
So I'm just going to say something, though. The fact that that conversation came up so quickly, I think maybe underscores that it wasn't that entertaining of a Masters. But all due respect and congrats. Wait. But
okay.
Hideki Matsuyama.
No, I was just going to ask you. Is Matsuyama, I was watching the broadcast and I couldn't tell, is he from Japan?
Right. So this was the thing. I called this in texting with a bunch of people. There's a certain point in every narrative, broadcast-wise, when things aren't entertaining and you can see the finish line and you have to get there. But you've got a lot of time to fill. We've done it before, too. We've been at a show where we're like, we have something cool coming up at 8 o'clock. But it's 6:09. Like, how do we get there? Mm-hmm. And I could see, you can hear it developing over time. So Nance and Faldo at a certain point realized.
Did you know that they're actually quite passionate about golf in Japan and that Hideki Matsuyama is going to be like a real hero there?
Right.
A real, like, this is going to be big news in Japan. So I don't remember that type of coverage for when Mike Weir won. And I was like, I didn't feel like they were going to...
It's funny you mentioned.
It'd be funny if they dipped into the Canadian broadcast, like they dipped into the Japanese broadcast, and it was like, oh, and there's Mike Weir with a real good shot.
You betcha. But, you know, the funny thing is, you know what it reminded me of? Remember when Adam Scott won, and they made a really big deal out of him being the first Australian to win? And I remember thinking,
but I felt like... here's the thing, though. That one had a way better narrative because Greg Norman had choked away a couple.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, I felt at times, I'm like, they're really beating the Australia thing over the head, right? And I, look, don't get me wrong, it probably is a massive deal in Japan, but it's just when the narrative...
Golf is very popular there.
Yes, so I've heard. Hey, if you didn't know, just watch 5 minutes of the Masters yesterday. Yeah. But I'm just talking more from a broadcast perspective, having done this for a while. You know how the game goes, right? When the you know, thing itself in front of you, the tangible sports product, isn't compelling. And for large stretches, it wasn't.
You could tell the broadcasters were furious when Schauffele tripled 17.
Absolutely.
Come on, man! Give us a finish here.
They had 8 minutes of something really exciting to chew on, and then they had to spit it out. Okay, you know what? That's probably enough golf talk for the foreseeable future. We can dip back in, and we'll go into the Dunbar Lumber text line and look at everything there. But really, we need to tell everybody... What happened?
Hey, did you guys see the game last night?
No. What happened?
I missed all the action because I was...
We know how busy your life can be.
What happened?
Missed it? You missed that?
What happened?
Before we get into all the trades that transpired last night, there's probably people in their cars right now that aren't even aware that Taylor Hall got traded. You'll have to wait. We got to start local. Vancouver Canucks. The good? And I'm putting a question mark on that. The good?
Get us?
Is that the Canucks are going to resume play. On Saturday, the NHL announced that the Canucks would return to action on Friday, April 16th. That's this Friday. And play all of their remaining games by May 16th.
They will play 19 games in 14 days. Did right. you know that?
It's
they have doubleheaders now.
It's true.
Yeah.
Get used to them.
No, it's 19 and 31, which is still... It's going to be a slog.
Yes. So the numbers on it real quick. As Jason mentioned, 19 games in 31 days. That aggressive schedule includes six, count them, six back-to-backs in 31 days, all of which are contained in a three games and four night slate. The Canucks will never have more than a 1 day break between games for the next 31 days. And two of those back-to-backs include travel between the games. If too many players are unable to return, because remember, Adam Gaudette, as of most recent update, is the only one to be cleared from COVID-19 protocols. Mm-hmm. They will have to
and
go
Beagle's
in
on it now.
Sorry,
and Beagle's on
right,
it. Now.
Beagle,
he
think,
was hurt anyway.
Yeah, Beagle's hurt anyway. Yeah. The Canucks have recalled goaltender Artur Seelovs. I'm not sure on the pronunciation.
It doesn't matter.
Seelovs.
Thank you, Seelovs. And it really doesn't matter. Guillaume Brisebois is back.
Mm-hmm.
They're back from their loans with AHL teams in Canada. And of course, there were four members of the taxi squad that never went on to COVID-19 protocol. I'm mentioning this because I would expect some of these guys, if not all of them, will probably get games given how crazy and ridiculous and maybe potentially dangerous this schedule might be.
It's meaning it's going to be quite the playoff race, isn't it?
I mean, it's technically there.
It's technically alive. The Habs don't look great.
And they're tired because they've played so many games in a short period of time. Yeah.
The Montreal Canadiens have played 38 compared to Vancouver's 37. So the Canucks finally have games in hand on people, which is weird.
Game in hand.
Game.
One
singular.
No, I'm just looking around. The Habs have played fewer games than most people. Vancouver's 8 points back of Montreal. It is going to take a spectacular finish from the Canucks to even make it interesting in the North Division.
We shouldn't go too far down this road, though, because the day after the NHL announced that the Canucks would return to play, the Canucks' return to play was delayed by yet another day. On Sunday, the NHL announced that due to a player going into the league's COVID-19 protocols, that, of course, was Jay Beagle, who is injured and was away from the team's practice facility won't open until today, delaying the Sunday start by a day. So the day after they announced that the Canucks were going to go back, they said, hold the phone, you're not going to go back right away.
Brian, spit on me.
Very good.
Oh, that's nice.
I taught him the...
Now tell me I'm scum.
I taught him the spit on me on Friday.
Maybe not the most appropriate one related to COVID, but, you know,
I was actually
the spirit of it is there.
I was spitting on him.
As we did it.
We didn't. He didn't find the clip, so I'm like, okay, well, we'll just do it this way.
Yeah, we're going to have to do this manually. It's fine.
So I'm going to throw it out to the listeners right now. What's worth watching down the stretch? So I'm deadly serious here because as guys that run the morning show at Sportsnet 650, we will be trying our best to hype up these games in any way we can. Mm-hmm. Is it the fact that the Canucks are still technically alive in the playoff chase? Is it maybe some of the kids that you might see in the lineup?
Yeah.
Lind, Rathbone. Podkolzin playing seems very unrealistic at this point. His team's still alive in the Gagarin Cup playoffs in the KHL.
He's scoring big goals.
Yeah, he's playing pretty well over there. But it does seem unrealistic that there's a month left in the season, right? Time-wise. Mm-hmm. Is he going to get eliminated from the KHL, sign with the Canucks, come to Canada, quarantine? That seems very unrealistic.
Yep.
But Lind and Rathbone, especially Rathbone, I want to see Rathbone in the lineup at some point down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Elias Pettersson's potential return?
Right.
Isn't played for a while? Or is it just, there's nothing else to do? We're still kind of locked down here. There's not a lot for us to do, so we might as well watch the Canucks. I will say it could be pretty weird. The Canucks finish off in mid-May against the Calgary Flames. Calgary and Vancouver are pretty unlikely to make the playoffs. Could they be playing games while the American division start the playoffs?
Yes.
Technically, that's possible, right?
The Scotia division has already had its playoffs pushed back. Because remember, folks, playoffs don't really all need to start at the same time. You're playing strictly within your division all the way up until the final four. So you can make up time. You can get the scheduler to, you know, readjust the matrix as it was. So there's a very good chance that the Canucks are going to be playing out some very meaningless games while the rest of the NHL is in the midst of, and let's be honest, the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs is
the best.
It's the marquee awesome. For everybody. It's the most awesome. Action.
Yeah.
It's frenetic because you've got three or four games going on at the same time. Mm-hmm. The first round and the play-in round in the bubble last year was terrific. Like, one game ended, next one was on, let's go, right? Guys were playing at a frenzied pace. It'll be very tough for the Canucks and whoever they're playing against, Calgary Flames, to manufacture any sort of intensity or motivation if those games are going on, especially when they know that other teams are playing in the
playoffs.
There
could be some good series, too. I mean, we could have, for example, a rematch of the Islanders and the Penguins. We could have the Capitals and the Bruins.
Yeah.
And the Bruins, did we mention that they've just added Taylor Hall? Have we got into
briefly,
any of that stuff?
But we're going to do that next.
So that's the Canucks story. Text in 650-650, the Dunbar Lumber text line. The smart alternative, visit Dunbar Lumber on Bridge Street in Ladner or Arbutus in Vancouver online at dunbarlumber.com. What are you looking forward to for the rest of the Canucks seasons? Why will you continue to watch or listen to this team? Mm-hmm. If you're not going to watch or listen to this team, don't bother texting in. We're just looking for the positive. This is a house of positivity here.
House radio.
Yeah.
Let's get into the NHL news really from overnight. In case you're one of those folks like us that has to get up early, you might have gone to bed early last night, in which case you probably missed the big trade of the deadline. Taylor Hall, formerly of the Buffalo Sabres, is now a member of the Boston Bruins. Boston has added arguably the biggest and most prized target at the deadline this year, acquiring Taylor Hall in exchange for Anders Bjork, and a second-round pick. Let that sink in for a moment.
Wasn't there one more player?
Curtis Lazar also going
to
Boston. An energetic fourth-line center, formerly a first-round pick, best known as the guy that ate the cheeseburger off the ground in Ottawa.
That's right.
The Sabres are getting absolutely eviscerated for this deal. The Bees are getting largely applauded for it. Buffalo, in addition to not getting a lot in return, as expected, had to retain 50% of Taylor Hall's contract. The rationale from Boston is pretty simple.
Hey, let's not be a one-line team anymore.
Hall is a depreciated asset, but he's also a guy that won the Hart Trophy 3 years ago.
Mm.
3 years! I threw it on a Twitter yesterday. Has there ever been a player in NHL history that has played for three different teams in the 3 years since winning the league's MVP? It could not have ever happened before. It's impossible. The idea here for the Bees is simple. Put Taylor Hall around better players. This is the best team that Taylor Hall has ever played for in his career. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think it's especially close.
Is he going to play with Krejci on the second line, then?
It does sound like that. Now, remember, this trade broke after midnight Eastern, so a lot of the Bees media and regular pundits were either in bed or just kind of looking at this and reporting the trade, not doing a lot of digging.
They're out fighting. That's what people from Boston do.
Yeah, headbutting each other, going with Sully and Fitz down to O'Callaghan's. They weren't doing a lot of diehard Bees analysis here. So it's up to us, the professionals, to do this. Right now, it sounds like he's going to slot in on that second line with David Krejci. So what does that mean? One, he gets a good playmaking center to play with. Now you'll say, well, he had that in Buffalo with Eichel. Yeah, but when he was with Eichel in Buffalo, they had no protection. They had no insulation in the lineup. Don't forget, it's Krejci and Hall behind the perfection line. So if you're going to roll out your top guns against Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasternak, all of a sudden, that gives Bruce Cassidy the option to throw out Hall and Krejci and whoever the second line winger will be. I think it'll be Craig Smith against less defensively inclined opponents.
And
so that's something right there.
I think you have a decent third line there with Coyle and Jake DeBrusk. The second line has been a problem in Boston for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. That's why they've always been chasing all these forwards. Yeah. Rick Nash, Charlie Coyle. You can go down the list of guys they've acquired at the deadline. Remember when they got Jaromir Jagr?
Didn't they have Iggy?
Oh, yeah. They've got a myriad of guys to come in and round out the forward crew.
And I think it's still going to be a question mark for the Bruins, that second line. Mm-hmm. Taylor Hall with David Krejci and whoever on the wing. Taylor Hall, obvious question marks about him. Has he just lost it?
Mm-hmm.
And Krejci's getting older. He's not the player he was when he was leading the playoffs and scoring in years like, when was it that the Bruins won the Stanley Cup?
I can't remember,
but he led the league in playoffs. They did a good thing.
They won the Stanley Cup. The reason that Buffalo is getting slaughtered for this trade right now is because of the minimal return for Taylor Hall, a guy that they went out and paid $8 million for in free agency and then flipped for a second-round pick in Anders Bjork. Now, part of the reason they're getting killed for this is because of what the Toronto Maple Leafs did a few hours earlier. The Toronto Maple Leafs made a big, significant move on Sunday, getting Nick Foligno for the Columbus Blue Jackets in a three-team trade in which the San Jose Sharks got involved, did a little money laundering. Foligno essentially goes for a first-round pick. There were some other things moving around as well, some conditional picks, Stefan Nason, and the Sharks got involved to launder some of the money.
Mm-hmm.
This is my favorite thing in the NHL right now, is getting a third party involved, and they are kind of like, you know, Tony Soprano working on the Esplanade.
Do you think the Canucks would be able to pull off a trade like this?
I mean, they could, hypothetically.
Like, oh, we traded Pettersson by mistake.
Yeah. And somehow we retained all the salary. That's not good.
I think we re-signed Louis. Yeah. Is that how it's supposed to work?
Don't put that into central office right now. Don't send that away. The central registry at the NHL. The Leafs get Foligno, and the big talking point here from a lot of people was that, hey, look at the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Columbus Blue Jackets got two first-round picks for rentals because David Savard, their other tantalizing deadline option, the defensive defenseman that's been there for forever, also fetched a first-round pick in a trade that sent him from Columbus to Tampa Bay. That had a bunch of machinations as well involving a third-party Steve.
But regardless, Columbus has three first-round picks now coming up.
Right, so that was the big knock on Buffalo, was why would you make this deal before the deadline? Because remember, Buffalo squeezed this in basically at midnight last night. Not kind of drum up a bidding war. If you know that the Boston deal is already going to be there, why not put that in your back pocket and then try and put the squeeze on some other teams? Wait a little bit longer. Try and get a third party involved to move even more money around and get that first round pick that Columbus got not once but twice.
It's Taylor Hall. It's basically his reputation now, isn't it? And the fact that he's played, what? I think I saw a stat that in his last 100 games, he has, what, 19 goals or something like that? Like,
he has two goals in 37 games this year.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's shooting 2.3%.
And Nick Foligno is the type of guy that I think, if he's at his best, could really help a team like the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's a good defensive forward. He's tough. He's going to play well in the playoffs when things start to tighten up. That's what they need.
Toronto got a good look at him last year when they got bounced by Columbus in the play-in round. I'm sure that the 18 to 20 minutes a night Foligno was playing largely in a defensive role did not go unnoticed by Kyle Dubas and Sheldon Keefe. So, I mean, you can connect the dots there as well.
Leafs also had to trade away some forwards in the summer in order to beef up the back end, which needed to be beefed up. So they lost the likes of Kapanen and Johnsson. So they added Foligno. The Leafs are interesting, though, because if you look at that team, if you go to Cap Friendly and look at that team, they could be very different next season.
Yeah.
If they don't get it done in the playoffs this year, or regardless of what happens in the playoffs, because they have so many pending unrestricted free agents because they brought in a lot of veterans, older veterans, on one-year deals, and they've got guys like Galchenyuk, who's a pending UFA, who's played quite well for them and fit in. Zach Hyman is a pending UFA, and he's a very important player for them. Yep. Are they going to be able to keep a guy like that? And Nick Foligno is a newest pending UFA. I thought it was interesting that the Leafs also picked up David Rittich from the Calgary Flames, the goalie, which shows to me that the Leafs are not 100% sure who's going to be healthy for the playoffs in goal for them.
There is there's some rumblings online that there may be like a subsequent Freddie Anderson health update to come.
Oh, very interesting.
On the subject of NHL trade deadline coverage, we're doing it all day here on the Halford and Ruff Show on Sportsnet 650. That's number one. Number two, all NHL trade deadline coverage on this fine station is brought to you by Andrew Sherritt Limited, your local family and employee-owned wholesale distributor. With locations across Western Canada, you can purchase heating, plumbing, and irrigation supplies online at Sherritt.com. We got a text into the Dunbar Lumber text line, 650-650. It says, who are you two? Well, I'm Mike Halford, and he's Jason Brough, and you're listening to Halford and Brough on Sportsnet 650. .632 on a Monday. It's Halford and Brough at Sportsnet 650. This intro is a tough one because it takes forever for the good stuff to kick in. It just goes like this for forever. It is Trade Deadline Monday here on the program. Reminder, all your trade deadline coverage is brought to you by Andrew Sherritt Limited. Let's go to the phone line now. Happy to have him on the program. Our good friend from ESPN, Greg Wyshynski, joins us now on Sportsnet 650. Good morning, Gregory. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I feel like my mother's on the phone here with the Gregory.
Gregory, are you going to be watching hockey for the rest of your life? Is that what you want to do?
Gregory Robert Wyshynski, you get down here and grade this trade at this instant.
Okay, good place to start, because your grade of what the Buffalo Sabres did in the Taylor Hall trade is only a C-. Now, that's not a good grade, but it's significantly better than the one the Athletic gave him, which I swear to God was an F-.
The Sabres are like, we passed. Yeah, that's good.
That's good.
Yeah, that's because I actually have to take into context, like, all the things that surround the trade and not just, you know, try to do a hot shot,
yes,
you know, hipster thing like Dom does. Look, the guy's got a no-move clause,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
The guy has two goals in 37 games, and if you look at his last 102 games, I think it's like, what, like 26, something like that? I mean, like, I know that there are metrics to tell you that Taylor Hall is doing better than his production would indicate, but you can't just ignore the production. Guy's getting paid $8 million for two goals in 37 games. I mean, I talked to two GMs over the weekend who told me what the market was for Hall, and I had the same reaction. Don't you guys know he's Taylor Hall? They're like, look, man, he's Sino. He's Taylor Hall in name only.
Mm.
He's not the same guy right now. Now, he could be. Maybe it's the teams he's playing for that means he's bad. But right now, you know, this is the value for Taylor Hall. And I'll say this, too. If you really want to put the blame on Kevin Adams or something, okay,
yep,
it's on signing Taylor Hall to the contract that he signed him for. Because it's not simply the $8 million for a season. That is whatever, you know. But if you had increased the signing bonus that you gave Taylor Hall and bought down the base salary, and now the salary is prorated, and if you do the math on the money he's owed from the Boston Bruins, it's still like $411,000 for
right.
17 games.
Right.
And so I don't know if you guys know, there's a pandemic and no one's going to the games and everybody's broke. So if you're still having to pay a guy $411,000 on his salary, who's got two goals in 37 games, I mean, all of these are the market effects that Kevin Adams had to wade through. So we can hotshot it and call him a failure and do all and dance on the Sabres' grave like we do every day.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to acknowledge the context of this deal before you start doing this stuff.
Sure, and I think it is. It's easy and sometimes fashionable to pile on the Sabres in this situation. But when you look at the return, Anders Bjork and a second round pick, I mean, everyone's going to grade it as a win for Boston, almost regardless of what happens from here on in, because they didn't pay a whole heck of a lot to get him out the door. We were looking at this from the Boston perspective earlier in the program and saying, you know, I think the easy answer here for why Boston did this is, one, it didn't cost a lot, and two,
You just put Hall with the best players that he's probably ever played with, and you say, go. And I mean, it's crazy to think that at this stage of his career, I think you can definitively say, this is the best collection of talent that Taylor Hall has ever played with, and he's got a chance at a reclamation at a time where he really needs it.
And the Bruins are going to be like, you get to play with an aging David Krejci and maybe Craig Smith.
Yeah, right.
Have fun. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, the good news about Krejci is just like Hall is playing for a contract.
Right.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, you make this trade with the hope that a change in scenery reignites Taylor Hall's production, his career. You know what you're getting out of him defensively. It's not a whole heck of a lot, but that's fine. I mean, you obviously are hoping that you get the Taylor Hall by making this trade. But again, like it's hard to really parse the fact that he played for a couple of awful Devils teams, a Coyotes team that didn't really do much offensively, and then this festering boil that is the Buffalo Sabres. Because in, like 5 out of the last 6 years or 6 out of the last 7 years, his shooting percentage has been under 10.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not as if, you know, if you get this guy, if you're a Bruins fan, you get Taylor Hall on your team, and you expect him to start scoring at a 30-goal pace, I mean, that'd be amazing if it happened, because everything tells you that's not the guy he is.
I want to move on eventually, but I want to do one more thing with Taylor Hall. We're speaking to Greg Wyshynski of ESPN here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Just with regards to Taylor Hall, because we've had a few people text this in, and when I threw it out last night, we had a few people text in the same thing. Hall won the NHL's Most Valuable Player Award 3 years ago. Since then, now, and he's going to his third different team in 3 years, not counting the Devils. It's 4 at that point. Which I don't think has ever been done before. But a lot of people threw it as like, is Taylor Hall the most unique career in NHL history? And I wanted to ask you, because it was with your New Jersey Devils where he achieved these great heights. He is the only Hart Trophy winner in franchise history, and that's a franchise that's had a boatload of success and a bunch of Hall of Famers. It is such a bizarre career when you look at it. And the weird thing is, it's not over yet.
No, it's not. But I mean, increasingly, it looks like that's the, you know, anomalous apex of his career that year. I mean, he, like I said, like the months in which he carried the Devils, a pretty bad Devils team, into the playoffs was probably one of the best months of hockey from an individual I've ever seen. Like, he was incredible. Right. The way that we watch Connor, and you know, where every single time he steps on the ice, something happens. It was the way that Hall played for the Devils in that stretch. We may never get that again. And I do think that in some ways it's worked against him in his career, because he's not that guy. I mean, he won a Hart Trophy, but he's not necessarily like a Hart Trophy guy in perpetuity. He just had an amazing stretch. But look, I like the guy. I've always liked him personally. I'm very happy that he finally gets to go to Boston. He's been angling to go to Boston for, I think, the better part of his career. He finally gets his shot. I think he'll make the most of it. But, you know, I do just give it some pause that, you know, we see name value a lot at the trade deadline, and we don't necessarily take any statistical context or market context into account when we start talking about these trades. And I just wish people would do that more often.
Wish, what did you think of Foligno to Toronto?
Ooh, they traded a first rounder for him, Jason. I don't know. Can you do that? I mean, Taylor Hall only got a second. That's the other dumb thing at this deadline. Like, look,
simple questions, Alfred. Just boom. What do you think of that? This is the response everyone's you get.
Everyone's got a different modus operandi at the trade deadline. It's very easy to say, well, why didn't the Leafs just trade a first rounder for Taylor Hall? Well, let's see. The things that Nick Foligno does well, that everyone is constantly crying about the Maple Leafs not being able to do well, which is defend and do the little things to open up space for guys like John Tavares and win battles in the corners and all that stuff that Nick Foligno does, on top of being like uniformly one of the most respected character guys in the game, which I know doesn't equate to, like, you know, what kind of return you should get for him in a deal, but is very important for a guy like Kyle Dubas, who's been adding those guys to his collection for the last year. Yes, I agree. Taylor Hall, in a vacuum, better player than Nick Foligno. Nick Foligno, to the Maple Leafs, more important than Taylor Hall.
Totally.
He does
Absolutely.
The things they need. And so it's driven me insane to see this
What, did they get a first for Nick Foligno? He couldn't get.
Yes, they gave a first for Nick Foligno, just like Tampa gave a first for Blake Coleman. I mean, it's all about the context. It's all about the individual needs of the team.
Hey, Wish, I think most people would agree that Tampa Bay last year, heading into the playoffs, was the team with the most pressure on it to get it done, especially after they had been beaten by the Columbus Blue Jackets the year before, great regular season, and then don't even win a game in the playoffs. Who's that team for you this season? Because I look at the teams that are going to make the playoffs, and I think, man, that team better get it done because they're getting older. Or in the case of Toronto, that team better get it done because they haven't won a first-round playoff series since 2004. There's a lot of teams that, to me, you know, well, let's put it this way. I think there's going to be a lot of disappointed fans out there because they'll be like, man, my team was they had to get it done, and only one team can win it all.
So there's two teams. One is clearly the Leafs, and you can tell they know what they have, and you can tell they know the opportunity that they have because Dubas is kind of like intricately building this team with the playoffs in mind, knowing that they're better than everybody in that division, and knowing that they won't see the Boston Bruins until the Final Four, if that. I mean, the Bruins don't really scream, you know, Final Four team to you, but in case they are, you won't have to worry about them until you've already, you know, packed a couple of playoff round wins behind you, and then maybe you get your confidence up. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing for Toronto? Mm-hmm. The other team is Vegas, and Vegas has a ginormous financial investment in their roster. They have now added significant pieces in every year of their existence, building towards winning the Stanley Cup that Bill Foley thinks they should have won in their first season. And if they don't win, and if they fall significantly short, I do wonder what starts to change even more about this team's DNA. Because the Golden Misfits are dead. I mean, like, they're going to start shipping out your Riley Smiths and your Jonathan Marchessaults at some point if they keep falling short of the ultimate prize. And it's going to be in service of what is, for me, the biggest flaw in this team. And if they can win the Cup without this thing, I'll be shocked. Which is that their top two centers right now are William Karlsson and Chandler Stephenson.
Yeah.
And you're going to be going up against MacKinnon and Kadri and McDavid and Draisaitl and, you know, all these other people that have – they're loaded for bear up the middle, and Vegas is trying to win with, you know, number twos or at best in a league where you need kind of like two number ones, I think, in most cases to win.
It's a great point because the other thing about Vegas is just how, like – incredibly aggressive they've been at every turn, including the Petrangelo thing where they basically had to give away Nate Schmidt to Vancouver. Do you think it's conceivable? I know they're pressed right up against the cap, but given the sort of organizational philosophy there, do you think it's even like conceivable for them to not do something? Because I feel like they're compelled to do something today.
Oh, no, they're going to do something today. Okay. I mean, my colleague Emily Kaplan reported earlier that, you know, they were in on Foligno, they were in on Hall. These are not deals that are you know, cost free, both in assets and in cap space. They've made some little machinations in the last 24 hours to try to create a little bit more space. So they're clearly trying to add more to the team, which is what they've done at every deadline. So they're definitely someone to still watch. I just don't think that the giant swing that's necessary to remedy the biggest flaw on the team is something that you can fix at this trade deadline with the current configuration of their roster.
Wish, I know you got a busy day ahead of you, as does everybody in this industry. So with that, we'll let you go. Enjoy trade deadline Monday. Hopefully there's a lot to come over the next 5 hours and 15 minutes.
And that's fine. And listen, I'm sorry I yelled.
Don't apologize.
I was very late. I really miss living in California to, you know, do this trade deadline nonsense where, you know, Jeff Carter trades are breaking off at 2 a.m. Easter Coast time. So I'm a little punchy. So to all of you who may have been offended by me saying you're idiots for overrating the return for Hall, it's true, but also I'm probably just cranky.
Attaboy, Wish. Okay, get some coffee. Enjoy the rest of the day. We'll talk again next week.
Anytime.
Thanks. Wish.
That's Greg Wyshynski from ESPN here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.
Who's the team for you that has to get it done?
Toronto.
Yeah. Like at least win a round.
Well, they got to start it somewhere. No, it's not just win a round. It's not.
If
not
they
now.
Don't get out of Canada.
Not now.
If they don't, yeah, they get, don't out get out of Canada, that's
not now.
Yikes.
Not now. This is such
a we're going for it season. Mm. It already kind of was when they brought on guys like Simmons and Thornton, to a lesser degree Spezza, because you knew that the idea was, all right, all these guys are chasing that one thing, mm-hmm. and we're going to all put them in a room together. And I guess the rub off is going to be for the younger guys, is look at how desperate these older guys are that want that ring, that they're probably near the end. And
you
then
better sacrifice for these guys.
Just watch how much they're going to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Do the same. And then yeah. you bring in Foligno, and then you go and the Riddick deal.
Imagine if they go into the playoffs, though, with Jack Campbell and David Riddick.
Well, what else are they going to do?
Well, Freddie Anderson could be healthy by then, in theory. We don't They've have an done... update yet, but the fact that they did acquire a goalie, I think, tells me that there's at the very least, some uncertainty with regards to their goaltending.
They've done everything they've done this year, basically, with Freddie Anderson being a non-factor.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in net for a bunch.
Hasn't been great.
But he hasn't been great.
Yeah.
So that would be the thinking. Is it's like, we feel like we have a strong enough team. I mean, look at last year. The Dallas Stars went to a Stanley Cup final with Anton Khudobin just kind of being the backup.
Well, Jordan
for large stretches.
Jordan Binnington was largely unknown. So was Matt Murray when they won their first Stanley Cups.
Right. It happens, right? Especially in a year where nothing makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You basically, what you do is you go in and you say, we don't have our ideal lineup. This isn't exactly how we drew it up, but we want to try and make a run because we think we're good enough. Riddick might give us something mm-hmm. in small stretches. I mean, his name is Big Save Dave for a reason, as Kevin Woodley told us.
He makes one a game.
That's right. But maybe that one is the one that does it for you. We'll go into the Dunbar Lumber text line coming up next, 650-650. We'll also check in with Adam Forsyth, who's our trade deadline insider at the news desk here at Sportsnet 650 and News 1130.
Is Adam going to be like, nothing yet, back to you guys?
Pretty much. But he has to do that over 90 seconds. So we'll talk to him as well.
I'm following the Matthias Janmark sweepstakes.
And what a sweepstakes it is. 7 o'clock hour. We're going to talk to Dan Murphy from Sportsnet, Canucks reporter. Canucks maybe going back into the facility today. We'll wait and see. 8 o'clock hour, Kevin Bieksa is going to join us. We'll go around all the NHL news and notes on trade deadline Monday. Don't go anywhere. Keep it on the dial. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650.
What's a rob-off means?
Trade shows that obviously his reputation is down. You know, one of the things about the Bruins is they're one of the worst teams in the league at scoring in 5-on-5 off the rush. Hall is having a bad season in terms of finishing, but he creates chances. I understand the marriage. I do. And I'll tell you this, it wouldn't surprise me in the least if one of the reasons he's happy to go to Boston is that he thinks they might want to keep him.
Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. That was Sportsnet NHL insider Elliot Friedman on the deal that went down last night. If you're getting into your cars right now, maybe you went to bed early or maybe you didn't even see the trade. Taylor Hall going from Buffalo to Boston in exchange for Anders Bjork, no relation to the Icelandic singer, and a second round pick. The deal kind of getting skewered from a Buffalo perspective given the return, although if you listen to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, who we just had on the program, reminder, you can listen to the podcast of Halford and Bruff right after the first hour of the show is done. It'll be up just after 7 o'clock. Wish is on there. He said, don't kill the Buffalo Sabres too much until you understand the full context of that trade. Speaking of trades, let's go now to our breaking news desk, Adam Forsyth from News 1130, Sportsnet 650. There haven't been any trades yet as of this morning. Adam, what do you have for us?
What's going on, fellas? Yeah, you just summed it up. It is very, very quiet so far. So I figured I'd break down the trades that happened late last night for those people just getting up. As you just mentioned, the Bruins acquiring Taylor Hall and Curtis Lazar from the Sabres for Anders Bjork and a second-round pick. The Kings trading Jeff Carter to the Penguins for a third and a fourth. That third rounder can actually become a second rounder if the Pens reach the final and he plays in at least 50% of the games. The Maple Leafs added David Rittich from the Flames for a third rounder, and that's pretty much it. It's been pretty quiet, but there were 16 trades from Friday night into this morning, so hopefully things pick up as the morning progresses.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it. A reminder that all NHL trade deadline coverage is brought to you by Andrew Sherritt Limited, your local family and employee-owned wholesale distributor. With locations across Western Canada, you can purchase heating, plumbing, and irrigation supplies online at Sherritt.com. Canucks.com. Coming up, we're going to do our poll question today. It's about the Vancouver Canucks. It's about the trade deadline. It's about whether or not they'll make moves and whether or not that is okay. Stick around. You're going to want to hear it. It's one of our best poll questions ever.
It's not.
Halford, Brough, Sportsnet, 650.